Echo. I'm Joanne Moon. Some of you guys know me. Some of you guys are still getting to know people here. I'm an intern pastor here at Echo Church, and it is my joy and honor to be with you today. And in the same strain of honoring someone, my parents are in town, and they're here with us today. Mom and Dad, wave. Where'd they go? Oh, hi. So that's the area I'm not going to look when I'm preaching. Okay, so they're here, and I just want to say I want to honor my parents because they're the reason that I love the church, the body of Christ, so much. It is their passion. It is their hobby. It is a thing that we talked about and wrestled with and strategized and did every day of the week. So I just want to honor them. Thank you for coming today. It's time to kick off a new series. Maybe you guys are like, no, that's like a whiplash. Like, we just finished Ezra, and then here we are with a new series. But this is going to be a really nice, neat little series. Not little in impact, just little in the length. Sometimes which we like that too, right? So the new series is entitled Embodied Love, Enduring Fellowship. Say it with me. Embodied Love, Enduring Fellowship. I can't read your lips, but I could hear you, so I know that you're with me. Okay. Today, we pray together as a church in light of Pentecost Sunday for Holy Spirit to come and have your way. Isn't that good to say? Our spirit and our body is in agreement with each other, and it feels so good to say that. We ask the Spirit to set our hearts on fire and align us to God's will. That's what we prayed together. And I trust that Holy Spirit will enliven the word and speak to every single one of us these next 4 weeks. Excited? Yeah. Be expectant, okay? Okay, so let's pray together. God, we desire to hear your voice and learn from you. Holy Spirit, you make Jesus real to us. And Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So let us be thoroughly equipped for the good work you have purposed for each of us. And together here at Echo, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. Amen. Let's get right into it. So today's passage comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10, and then chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. They're sandwiched together. We'll just read it through, okay? This is the word of the Lord. This is a message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 1 John uses a kind of strong, black and white, and abstract language. It can say one thing and then says seemingly contradictory things somewhere else, at least at a first glance. You'll notice a lot of good nuggets from 1 John, and maybe some of your favorite verses might have pulled from the book of 1 John. But there is a benefit in getting a sense of the whole book in its entirety, and I think having a background information about 1 John will kind of help us with that. So there was a problem. There's usually a problem. That's why somebody has to write and address a group of people. And the problem with 1 John wasn't so much coming from the outside, as much as it was from the inside, meaning the believers are not necessarily experiencing external hostility and persecution. It was more that within the community of believers, there was things that were happening, and then so there was a conflict and a rift and separation because some group of people left this believing community. The remarkable thing about 1 John is that the writing doesn't focus on the ones that left, you know, why they left, why they're so bad for leaving, and I hope bad things happen to them, etc. The main focus is not there. Instead, the writer takes the opportunity to challenge the remaining faithful to become alert to their own failures, failures of the ones that stayed. What kind of failures are these? Failures of complacency, failures of comfortable confidence in the sufficiency of being an insider. That won't work here anymore, people, is what the writer is trying to say. The writer exhorts the remaining believers to respond to the division that happened by cultivating a stronger, a clearer sense of community identity. Don't just sit there congratulating yourself for staying. Instead, let's renew our affirmation of who we are and how we ought to live because of the God that we have come to know. That's what 1 John is about. Amen. Let's pray. Just kidding. So this is timely as a church. Some of us are really struggling to love God and be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Others of us, we don't look like that on the outside, but maybe a little bit privately so. And if you're doing well in the Lord, this is still so important, right? Because we are one body, connected to one another. When one part hurts, we should feel it. We should notice it, and we should tend to it. That's what the living body does. In the body of Christ, there is a struggling. In the body of Christ, there is a rampant lukewarmness. In the body of Christ, there is resistance and there's restlessness. All around us, we see that Christian fellowship has become anemic and optional. Go to church today or tune in? Tune in today or during the week while I do the dishes? I don't mean the ones who are sick. I don't mean the ones who are managing their immunocompromised health for themselves and their loved ones, clinging to the word of God and community through this online platform. I mean those of us who blur the line between convenience and Christian community, who have lost the art and the power of gathering together under God's call. All around, we see the power of Christian love that's been minimized to acceptance, without the necessary confrontation of sin and confession. We're nice, if that. Being in the Word of God daily, carving out sufficient time to receive the Spirit, enliven the Word to us. Well, that seems a little ambitious. Reaching out and actually holding the hand of another person, praying for them in earnest, for things to change, asking for the power of God to come and do only what God can. Well, that seems a little much. I'm certain this is why so many Christians are so heavily influenced by the changing tides of media and next popular reductionistic pop psychology and social media-driven politics. Our knowledge of God and God's character is arrested and shallow. It's become casual, with little power to shape our discipleship. This is why it's so important, church, absolutely a priority for every Christian to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. today's passage tells us God is light. So let's hold to that. Say it with me. Light.
Light.
Great. Verse 5. It says from our passage today, this is the message he has given us to announce to you. God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. What kind of light is it? The Message Bible kind of says it like this. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's no trace of darkness in him. Nothing escapes his notice. And everything is seen for what it is. There is no hiding from God. Sometimes we prefer a dimmer light, like candlelit dinners. I haven't had that in a while. TJ Moon? He's home with the kids today. Yeah. Giving a glow to highlight the best and leave the rest for our imagination. Sometimes we want to turn the light down way low and turn it off because we want to fall asleep to the things that make us uncomfortable to face and own up. There's things we just don't want to see, things we don't want to deal with. Hopefully it stays there in the dark and leaves me alone. But keep going this way, it will get hardened and desensitized to sin. Things that God counts as offensive will no longer offend us. We have had this tendency to hide and cover since the beginning of time, as far back as Adam and Eve. And God's been the same too from the beginning of time. God wanted to find us. And it wasn't because he couldn't find where we were. It was for us that God looked for us. The pure light of God reveals not by the world's standard or our standard, but by his holy standard what is not right. Verse 6 says, so we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. We cannot go on living in spiritual darkness, or as a Message version puts it, continue to stumble around in darkness. This is not like a one-time bump in the broad daylight. Oops, honest mistake. Let's turn that around. We cannot say we have fellowship with God if we continue to repeat sin, get steeped and mired in sin, soon thinking we're right to live this way and build our whole life around it. The good news is that God's light shows us our sin so that we can live in true fellowship with God. Verse 8 to 10 says this, if we say we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. And what God reveals, we are to confess. Say it with me, confession.
Confession.
That's kind of like a confession. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen, right? God doesn't reveal to condemn. God doesn't reveal to condemn you. God reveals so that we can acknowledge our sin and confess it, bring it to God, and receive the forgiveness made possible by Christ's shed blood. Confession is key to fellowship with God. When we don't confess our sins daily before God, we grow accustomed to sin. Nobody is exempt from this. It's hard to escape the continuous exposure to media and all the ways in which the world interprets for us what is the good life and what we can get away with. God already knows the parts you put extra cares to emphasize to others, the parts you want to minimize, the parts others want to admire, and the parts others would never want for themselves. God knows you. God sees you. And God cares. And this caring God tells us to come and confess. The antidote to our moral hardening, skewed outlook, wrong priorities, secret ambitions, the remedy to all the things that are said, all the things that are left unsaid, the things that we said in public and the things that we said in secret, the healing that we need, the healing that comes from God, comes to us by the disciplined practice of uncovering our sins, repenting, and forsaking them. So let's talk about the how-to of confession. First, confession should be immediate. It's a grave mistake to wait. You know, imagine that, oh, a sin has come into my mind. Like, I sinned, yeah. Wait, maybe a little later. Maybe during Sunday service, if the pastor calls it out. Maybe if it still bothers me a few days down the road. Maybe if the stars align just so. I don't know, just not right now. Acts 24:16 says this. Therefore, I do my very best. I do my best always to have a clear conscience toward God and all people. We should have the same ambition. This is a different ambition than an ambition to be perfect and without mistakes. This is an ambition to be quick to confess to God our sins. As soon as any sin is in our conscience, whether committed against God or another person, we should confess it to God. This is what it means to walk in the light. Get away to a quiet place, or maybe just get away quietly in your spirit. Take a moment to uncover the sin, confess it, choose to forsake it, and ask for the grace to overcome it. This is an indispensable condition to abiding continuously in Christ Jesus. The second how-to of confession. Our confession should be detailed. A general confession is not enough. God, I'm sorry for my sins. Amen. God, sorry for everything. You already know. Amen. General confession may be suitable for public worship, corporate worship. Usually the liturgy that we pray is inspired by the language and the imageries of prayer. But in private devotion, our confession should be detailed and particular. And as you confess, as you do this, recognize in you any resistance to make your sin less, make your sin smaller, make it more general than what God has revealed to you in the light. Some examples of the discipline of confession, meaning to practice it daily and continuously. And not just when you sin, because you only sin like twice a year, right? So what would it be to practice daily this discipline of confession? Well, one of the ways you can do that is in the daily reading of the word. I tell the Selah people that the D word, daily reading of the word, because people get so like, read the Bible daily, like, who does that anymore? Echo Church, right? We read the Word of God daily. We strive to be in the Word of God daily. So as you daily read the Word of God, you can practice confession as a response to God's Word after reading, because we know that God's Word searches us and finds any offense in us. And if my finger offended you, you can go pray. You can pray right now. You can also practice confession in your evening prayer. A lot of us pray before we sleep. Be specific in your confession at night after looking back on the day. Thank God for all his benefits and ask the Holy Spirit to remind and convict of sin so that you can confess, confess, and look to Jesus in faith. And finally, say it with me, community. Okay, how does community, that sigh was because there was no zest. Let's try it one more time. Community. Thank you, because I so love this community. I'm so thankful for this community. It's like a woo word, okay? So how does community, how does confession impact our community life? 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says this. If anyone says, I'm living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves other Christians is living in the light and does not cause anyone to stumble. Anyone who hates a Christian brother or sister is living and walking in darkness. Such a person is lost, having been blinded by darkness. Confession will impact our community here at Echo. First, your confession will grow you in grace and understanding toward your fellow believers. When God reveals to you for the umpteenth time that you're still struggling with the same stuff, at that point, you have a choice. You can protect yourself by growing numb and dismissive, saying, so what? It's not so bad. So what? Everyone is doing it. So what? I mean, nothing changes. I've been here before. Or you can confess your sin again. You can forsake it again and ask God for grace to try again. And there, in your humility and tenderness before God, God is giving you both the grace for another chance and forming you into a person who can show grace to others in need. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. We learn to do it by receiving. Matthew 18:21 to 22 says this, at that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurt me? Seven? Jesus replied, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. When you get to experience firsthand how humiliating and humbling it is to receive that much forgiveness over and over and over again, you change somewhere deep inside. You're being formed by the Spirit to relate like Christ does now with one another. Second, we simply have to extend our confession from vertical to horizontal. First, we confess to God. But there comes a time when we have to confess to one another. God is in the business of holding nothing back to repair relationships. He sent his only son to die for our sins so that we can have a way to the Father. It's just this one big loop, okay? Your fellowship with God, your fellowship with one another, they give feedback to each other to legitimate, to validate, make true through and through the fullness of life that we can have in God. You say you love God. You say you serve the house of God. You say you have a vision. You say you're gifted and you want to multiply what you've been given for God's kingdom. Well, what does your fellowship look like with other believers? What does your Christian fellowship suggest? All of our potential and big talk and future planning lose their Christian authenticity, lose their Christian power when we refuse to confess what God's revealed in our hearts, especially regarding our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Christian fellowship is both holy and loving. forgiving and being forgiven, doing it again and again and in it for the long haul, all because of our growing experiential knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. John 13:35 says, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Now we're kind of coming towards the end, but you didn't think that I would finish my sermon without a song, did you? Some of you guys are new. I don't know how long this will last, but I've kept up for quite some time now. And as always, this one goes way back. And if you know it, of course, you're welcome to sing along. I welcome it. Here I go, okay. Just the time I think that I'm at peace with the world that's mine. Who knows this? Too low. I feel at ease, I feel at home, and I know I'm not alone. Then in my rest, there comes a test. Then in my rest, there comes a test that shakes me till again I know that what I've had is not enough, and again I've got to grow. Lord, I want to know you more. Deep within my heart, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you, and I will give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to know you more. Well, that part is always awkward for me. Like, didn't mean to put on a bad concert that you didn't pay for. But you know where it gets me, the song? Ever since I was little, it gets me at, I would give my final breath. Because would I? Some of you guys know me, I think of dramatic scenarios like burning volcanic rivers running under me. And I'm like, would I let go if I could know God more? Or the 90s Christian version would be, you know, would I become a missionary to some distant and really inconvenient squatting bathrooms, dangerous land to know God more? What would today's version, your version of the drastic scenario in which your faith and desire to know God above all else is tested? Don't look at me, just think about it. Oh, okay. Well, would you give your final breath? Give up something so precious, so important to you right now, gardening, right now, to know God more? I would. Would you give up anything to know God? Your time, your vanity, your sense of control for what you want, when you want it, your sense of deciding what is right and good and best? Would you give that all up to know God more? God did. To be in fellowship with you. And for our fellowship with one another. I once told a sister at church that she can add as many I want to's as she needs to come authentically before God. You can pray, I want to know you, God. But if you're not there today, you can also pray, I want to know you, God. I want you. Help, Holy Spirit. God, let our hunger for the knowledge of you to grow. We want to know you, God. We want to know you. We need you. We really need God. I want to invite us to a time of prayer. Because we can't talk about confessing and talk about praying and not do it. So let's take some minutes right now. You're welcome to close your eyes. Take some time to become aware of God's pure light shining on us. And ask Holy Spirit to reveal anything Spirit wants to show us, any sin in us that we need to be convicted of. Take time to confess it now. Not just think about it, but confess it to God in detail. And as you do, tell God you forsake it. And ask for the grace to do what comes next. For some, that's making some changes in your life. And for others of you, it's deciding to confess to another in this community about what you have done wrong to them. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Holy God, you are a pure light, shining down on us in love. Thank you that you see all, and you give us an opportunity to come to you in confession of our sins so that we can continue to grow in our fellowship with you, the most important thing. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're not asking us to be perfect without your help, but to continue to come, confessing our sins and asking you to help us so that we could live by your strength and by your grace. As we embody and get into us this love of God again and again, help us now then to look around to our community, the people here at Echo, and even others outside it. God, may our Christian witness and fellowship not be weak. But we are being supplied a new strength every time we call upon you for your help. Let our community become strengthened and grow to bring glory to your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite Pastor Jeanette up for a benediction.
Thank you, Pastor Joanne. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. You know, I have a lot of ambitions, but I was really convicted when Pastor Joanne referred to Acts and Paul, the challenge to make it our ambition to have a clear conscience before God. What if we made that our ambition? Something that we set out intentionally to do, to confess our sins before God and before one another, to not be stubborn, to not be resistant, to not be self-justifying or defensive. I know as we do that, and we begin that today, our community will form in a cruciform shape, take on a more holy form. Our fellowship will be enduring, it will be loving, it will be transformative. So I bless you, church. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Walk. No run, no stretch wide your arms and bask in God's marvelous light. Go this room, go from these doors knowing that God does not shine his face upon us to condemn us, but to bless us and to be gracious to us. Continue to confess your sins this day and this week. Do so quickly, immediately. Be specific and do this daily. And let's experience the fellowship that comes from a holy, truthful, enduring love. And may Christ be so victorious in our lives and in our church. Amen. Go. Thank you. And enjoy snacks, everyone, and welcome to Echo if you're new.